Viking, committed to exploring the world in comfort. Journey through the heart of Europe on an elegant Viking longship with thoughtful service, cultural enrichment, and all-inclusive fares. Discover more at Viking.com.
An airline engine recall spells trouble for summer travel. Plus, how Microsoft and Google's core businesses let them bet big on AI.
They're both spending right now about $28 billion a year on capital expenditures, that a lot of that goes to building out those networks. They have both the technology, infrastructure, know-how, plus the resources to really lean into this.
And the research proving that the four-day work week is better for you and your boss. It's Wednesday, July 26th. I'm Luke Vargas for The Wall Street Journal, and here is the AM edition of What's News, the top headlines and business stories moving your world today. And we begin today with news that could affect anyone flying on summer holidays in the coming weeks. Hundreds of Airbus jetliners will need to be taken out of service after a new problem with their Pratt & Whitney engines was revealed last night. That exacerbates a shortage of fuel-efficient engines that has already sidelined dozens of Airbus and Boeing planes worldwide. And joining us now with the details is Wall Street Journal aviation reporter Ben Katz. Ben, thanks for being with us. Tell us, what's the problem with these engines?
So what we've seen is from RTX, which is the parent of Pratt & Whitney, they said that they found contamination in some of the metal that they used for some of the engine parts. And their concern is that over time, that could lead to some cracks or some wear and tear that they weren't expecting.
And do they say this poses a serious risk to these planes?
No, not at all. I mean, both Pratt and Airbus have been very clear that this doesn't pose a safety issue. What it does is it puts a lot more pressure on the aircraft to come out for servicing and for maintenance earlier than expected.
To that end, this comes ahead of Airbus earnings this evening. How serious is this recall for them?
For Airbus, we'll see tonight whether there's any actual hit on the bottom line. There may be something in the way of compensation costs, but that'll be negotiated in the contracts with Pratt & Whitney and its customers. The bigger concern is it takes part in this wider narrative of these delays that both Boeing and Airbus have been seeing with the delivery of their aircraft. Airbus in particular has been struggling to ramp up rapidly after the pandemic to try and deliver these aircraft, and they've been held back by issues with the engines and the engine supply. This is another example of how the ecosystem is really so closely tied together and how disruptions like this can lead to ripple effects. Pratt & Whitney has a limited number of spare engines. They have a limited number of factories where they can do this kind of maintenance. So all of this adds to concern in the industry about delays, about reliability, and about operational resilience.
And it's coming at a time with a lot of people hitting airports, going on summer trips. What could this mean for anyone flying out on a holiday in the coming weeks or even throughout the rest of the year?
So the immediate impact isn't super extensive, purely because they're only going to take a small set, the oldest aircraft, out of service at the moment. That'll only be for kind of a few weeks at a time, so that shouldn't be too disruptive. However, in the context, again, of the broader industry, the industry doesn't have enough aircraft, so any kind of pressure on the supply of planes can lead to cancellations, can lead to knock-on disruption, and higher ticket prices.
Journal Aerospace reporter Ben Katz. Ben, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Coming up, Google and Microsoft, the tech giants at the forefront of the artificial intelligence race, are showing recovering growth in their core businesses. We'll delve into their earnings and more after the break.
Rapid expansion?
We're ready.
Worker shortage?
We're good.
Anything can change the world of work.
A celebrity buys the company.
Depends on who it is, but relax, we've got ADP.
From HR to payroll, ADP designs forward-thinking solutions to take on the next anything.
Google and Microsoft both reported relatively strong results yesterday, showing improved revenue growth and profitability as a result of cost reductions. And yet Microsoft shares took a bit of a turn in late trading, while Google added to its rally this year. Wall Street Journal Heard on the Street tech columnist Dan Gallagher has been looking at this market reaction, and he joins us now from San Francisco. Dan, both of these companies issuing broadly upbeat earnings reports. So why then are we seeing a difference in how their shares are performing?
Well, look, I think you can write the difference down entirely to expectations, and especially the expectations around generative AI. It's really gotten to be a hot term among investors, and especially for Microsoft, because Microsoft jumped on the ball really early this year and was aggressive about saying they're going to build it into search, and they're building it into their Office products and their software. So that stock went up, has been up like 46% year to date, and it's done a lot better than Google stock did. And so as a result, while you had two pretty decent reports, Microsoft's just had a much higher bar to hit. And because of that, and because their outlook for the current quarter was not quite what the street wanted to see, you're seeing a bit of a reaction. Because this AI stuff is just not a significant business for them yet.
And yet, Dan, you write that these are two companies that look set to be the AI juggernauts who will be in a bit of an arms race, if you will, to develop this technology. What makes them so well positioned to be those two leading players?
There's a few reasons for that. Both of them have this business that's based on having these giant global networks that provide software and services to corporations, to consumers, to everybody, and they make a lot of money with it, and they have a tremendous financial resources. They're both spending right now about $28 billion a year on capital expenditures, that a lot of that goes to building out those networks. $28 billion a year is more than the annual revenue of like three quarters of the S&P 500. This is a huge number. And it's just not something that most companies have those kind of resources for. So they have both the technology, infrastructure, know-how, plus the resources to really lean into this.
All right, so huge capital expenditures on AI and other things there. But naturally, Wall Street is going to want answers, right, about when those investments are going to pay off. What did Google and Microsoft say about how far away they are from really being able to monetize AI?
Well, they both laid out plans and visions for what they want to do with it. Microsoft's has been a little bit more defined because they actually put out pricing for this AI product they have called Copilot, which is a tool that can work with things like Excel spreadsheets and PowerPoints and do all these kind of amazing things in that. And there's an actual price out that they're going to be upselling to their huge base of enterprise customers. So I think this next fiscal year of theirs that we're in now, over the next 12 months, we're going to start seeing that contribute in some way.
And for Google, what is their outlook for making money off AI?
Well, just like Microsoft, Google does have a cloud business that they sell services to business customers, enterprise customers, and so forth. And they're trying to embed AI technology into that. They haven't put out like definitive pricing like Microsoft has there, but Google still makes most of its money on search. That's where the potential for AI gets really interesting for them, but there's still a lot unknown about how you can generate revenue through that and what companies buying internet advertising will pay for that.
That was Wall Street Journal Heard on the Street tech columnist Dan Gallagher in San Francisco. Dan, thanks so much.
Thank you for having me.
We are exclusively reporting that Elon Musk's rebranded Twitter, now known as X, is cutting ad prices in an effort to woo back brands to the platform. According to emails viewed by the journal, X began offering a 50% discount on certain video ads this week that give advertisers 24-hour placement atop the site's list of trending topics. However, X is offering both the carrot and the stick. According to one email, it also warned advertisers that their brand accounts would lose their gold verification checkmark next month if they don't meet certain ad spending marks. This comes after Elon Musk, earlier this month, said the social media site had seen an around 50% drop in ad revenue, but could be cash flow positive soon. Meanwhile, Meta's recently launched messaging app Threads is contending with a new class of users, propaganda accounts. The journal's Nuli Parnell reports that state-backed news outlets from Russia and other authoritarian governments have rushed to join the microblogging service. But unlike on Facebook and Instagram, their verified Threads accounts are not being labeled as state-controlled media.
These are the likes of Xinhua, CGTN from China, RT, and Sputnik from Russia. And they have attracted over 270,000 followers since Threads launched earlier this month. And not only are they using it to post newsy material that they would post on their other platforms, but also in one case from a Russian outlet, a doctored video of President Biden that was supposedly showing him shopping for books on dementia. This was a debunked video from 2020. So that appeared there without that state-backed label. Now, Meta tells us after we published the story that they plan to roll out these labels soon. And they have also pointed out that some of the material is being fact-checked. But it's interesting to look and see that with the presidential election in the U.S. coming up, some of this political material is already coming from these state-backed accounts.
U.S. House Speaker Kevin McCarthy says the chamber is on track to pursue an impeachment inquiry into President Biden. The California Republican has cited claims of corruption tied to Biden's son Hunter and his overseas business dealings, which GOP lawmakers allege potentially benefit or were tied to the president. The White House has repeatedly denied that allegation and maintains that the president was not involved in Hunter Biden's business affairs. Hunter Biden is set to plead guilty today to two misdemeanor charges of failing to pay taxes. While the plea deal with federal prosecutors averts a politically explosive prosecution, House Republicans are vowing to continue their own probes and say the plea deal was too lenient. And it's another busy day for markets. Luxury stocks have slid after LVMH reported a drop in its U.S. sales. Analysts at Bernstein say the luxury sector is now facing more steady demand following a boom period post-pandemic, and that is dragging on shares in LVMH, Prada, and Swatch this morning. And there's more to come with earnings from the likes of Meta, Coca-Cola, AT&T, Chipotle, and Barbie maker Mattel. And of course, the Fed is set to raise interest rates today to their highest level in 22 years. That announcement is due at 2 p.m. Eastern, with a closely watched press conference by Chairman Jerome Powell to follow. And finally, a major experiment into the four-day work week has found that fewer days in the office benefit not just workers, but also employers. In trials conducted at companies in the U.S., Canada, U.K., and Ireland, employees were given a paid day off a week, but the same workload to see whether they could get as much done by working more effectively. And the results? After 6 months, workers had less burnout, improved health, and more job satisfaction, all while cutting their average work time to 34 hours a week. And Journal Markets reporter Anna Hertenstein explains there were benefits to employers, too.
So from the company's perspective, they saw drops in worker turnover and absenteeism while largely maintaining productivity. And that was always the big question. Can people do as much in 4 days as in five? And actually, the majority of the participants said they would stick with the four-day work week. So far, most companies that have tried this are smaller employers rather than big companies. So it still remains to be seen whether this could be used across the economy, across sectors. And some workers that were in these four-day experiments did report struggling to get everything done in that time.
And that's What's News for Wednesday morning. We'll be back tonight with a new show. I'm Luke Vargas for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.